Sorry, I went a little bit long here, but I do think that this is sort of the number four is the most revolutionary of these four mission fields that I'm unpacking. So I'm just spending a lot of time digging into this. Let me just point out something. Theology is a very interesting thing because I do think that we often equate it with truth. But let me just say, theology is not the same as truth. Theology is a subset of truth. In other words, God is truth, right? Our God is the one who embodies truth and is the author of truth. Theology is our human cultural attempt to articulate God's truth. And the problem is, each one of us does it differently. And so, and a lot of times we don't know everything, and as we get to know God better, we even unpack more things throughout history. So we can uncover more and more theology as we march through history. Like, even Western theology. You know, you have the concept of the Trinity, which was argued by Gregory of Nazianzus as one of the Cappadocian fathers in, like, you know, the 4th century AD. St. Augustine of Hippo was the one who articulated the doctrine of original sin. You know, Martin Luther came around and he articulated sola scriptura, sola fide. William Carey in 1792 was the one who articulated the Great Commission from Matthew 28. So you look throughout history and there's always like new things that we're learning, you know? I mean, it wasn't until, until Carey, nobody knew that the Great Commission was actually about missions. 1792. So I think when we look at when we look at new theologies that are arising from the majority world, I know part of it, and I said I would talk about this. How do you prevent that from, how do you distinguish between new theologies that are good versus heresies? So, and a lot of times, because what can happen is we look like this. I don't know if you can see that. There's a Sunday school teacher who's saying, here's the chart of church history, and it branches all throughout history. And he says, so this is where our movement comes along and finally got the Bible right. And then this person says, Jesus is so lucky to have us, right? So we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be like, look, our denomination is the only way to do it.
Where do we go?
that's the NAB right there.
That's the inhaled Sunday school.
How do we figure out what is the balance the idea of we don't want heresy, but we also need to be open to new truths that may be applicable because culture keeps changing, and so we need new truths to adapt to those cultures, right? Here's a funny joke that I came across one time. Once I saw a guy on a bridge about to jump, I said, don't do it. He said, nobody loves me. I said, God loves you. Do you believe in God? He said, yes. I said, are you a Christian or a Jew? He said, a Christian. I said, me too. Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant. I said, me too. What franchise? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? Northern Baptist, he said. I said, me too. By the way, I didn't write this for you guys. This is the way the joke came. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region? He said, Great Lakes Region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Council of 1912? And he said, Council of 1912. And I said, die heretic, and I pushed him over. So a lot of times we tend to operate like this in the West, where it's like, if the majority world is not expressing it exactly as we express it, therefore it is heresy, and therefore we need to stamp it out. And what we end up doing is we're getting replicas of the West. And they're not self-theologizing, they're not doing things for their own context, not thinking for themselves. So Paul Hebert has this great four-step thing, his four hermeneutical checks against syncretism. As we're looking at how majority world theologians can express new ideas without it becoming heresy or syncretistic, first of all, scripture. That's the first check. Whatever thing new that someone says, you must be able to support it and prove it using scripture. It must not contradict the Bible. Secondly, the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, who instructs us in truth. This is a Baptist principle, right? You know, the four freedoms of Baptists, one of them is the Holy Spirit, or like the ability to read the Bible with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, right? Third is the church acting as a community of interpretation. This is why councils are so important. Conferences are so important. You have things like the Nicene Council. You have things like the Lausanne Congress. We need to bring people together because, hey, if one person says something wrong, then all the other people will check that person, right? In many ways, I tell my students, this is kind of like Wikipedia. I know I don't let my students use Wikipedia as a source for their papers, but I said, but Wikipedia is surprisingly accurate. And why is it so accurate? Because you have a million editors. And if one person says something wrong, the other, you know, the rest of them will jump on that person and will correct it. So when you have the whole community working together, you can't, some loose cannon will not get away with saying something wrong because everyone will jump on them and say, nope, that, you can't say that, you can't do that, right? So and finally, you have tradition or creeds. So you codify these things so that you move forward and you don't have to reinvent the wheel, right? So you need to write them down. And so we have the Nicene Creed. We don't need to rearticulate the Trinity. We don't need to rearticulate some of, you know, the two natures of Christ because we've already codified those things. But we maybe need to be open to new things. So you know, when we look at Western theologies, what are some of the things that we tend to like argue about, or we tend to turn over in our minds that seem really important to us? What about, you guys tell me, what are some of the things that Westerners are just so concerned about that maybe non-Westerners, or I shouldn't say non-Westerners, majority world theologians, like, or Christians, couldn't care less about? It's hard for us to think of because we have to get out of our own cultural lens. But
narrowly viewed, or narrowly defined idea of infallibility.
Yeah, infallibility versus inerrancy. You go to majority world, they're like, what are you talking about? Why are you fighting over this? Like, that's not something that they're parsing. They're not trying to split those hairs, right? Okay, anything else? What's that? Okay, so absolutely, yeah. We're more concerned with programs sometimes and methods, yeah. So, I mean, I'll just for the sake of time, I'll give you some of the things that have come up, right? We fight over what mode of baptism we do. We argue the status of the papacy. We debate Calvinism versus Arminianism, complementarianism versus egalitarianism. We parse whether or not the word filioque should be in the Nicene Creed. We talk about cessationism versus dispensationalism versus the continuing gifts of the Spirit. We debate the sola fide versus the new perspective on Paul. I mean, these are some of the things that Westerners are very, very concerned about. But majority world theologians are like, what? Or Christians just don't even think about these. They're unimportant to them. Why are they unimportant to them? Because theology comes out of context. Theology has to be applicable to whatever you're wrestling with. This is why liberation theology came out of Latin America, because they were wrestling with Christianity and how that fits in with poverty, whereas a lot of the West was not. So, but these are things that the West has wrestled with that maybe majority world Christians don't necessarily wrestle with. What do they wrestle with? What are things that they might wrestle with that we don't?
Or justice issues.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. Justice issues. Anything else?
I think the ability to read. Like, being literate.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, we take that for granted. Yeah.
Can you sell your village onions in the other village?
Oh, yeah?
That's...
Can you sell your onions in the other village? Yeah. Here's a couple that I've come up with. Honor shame issues, which a lot of times we don't think about in the West. Ancestor worship. Can I honor my ancestor? Is that okay in a Christian context? How do we wrap our minds around persecution? If God loves us and if God is for us, why are we being persecuted? Why are Christians being killed? The role of occult shamanism or witchcraft, which, you see in many contexts. We talked about poverty. How to engage false religions, especially if it comes to like insider movement stuff, like C1 to C6 scale. Like, can you be an insider Muslim Christian? Like, polygamy, right? Can the princess of Swaziland, which I referenced earlier, her dad, the king, has many wives, and they're like the most Christian nation in Africa, right? What do you do with that, right? Do you tell him to divorce all his wives except for the first one? Like, what does that do to their culture? So I think that we need to be open to learning from other cultures, especially since they can actually even help us correct some of our own errors. Yeah. So that's one thing to be like, oh, okay, open to learning from others. But can we even see that there are some things in our own theology that maybe need correcting, that maybe are not quite right? Excessive individualism. An excluded middle. The spiritual realm, which, we have this bifurcated view of reality, and we don't see the middle realm. Materialism, which is so rampant in the West. Over-reliance on enlightenment thinking, meaning everything is reduced to the brain, to logic, to science, to provability. Paucity of pneumatology. I don't think Westerners have a very good theology of the Holy Spirit. We have a really good theology of God the Father, really good Christology, and I don't think we know anything about the Holy Spirit. Of course, like Pentecostal Christians around the world, they could teach us a thing or two, right? Excessive triumphalism instead of a theology of lament. I mean, to always think that Christianity means you always win, I mean, that's not necessarily the case if you read the Bible, right? Like, I mean, ultimately, yes, but the theology of lament is a very Old Testament sort of idea that is also found in a lot of majority world cultures. A soterian gospel, which means that basically we're just focused on Jesus died for your sins instead of on the kingdom of God or the lordship of Jesus, right? The gospel is much bigger than just Jesus died for your sins. It's really ultimately the lordship of Christ. So, and starting the gospel with us instead of with God. We so often, four spiritual laws or whatever, right? It's like, we've fallen short and all have sinned. It's like, well, remember, God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. We are not the starting point. And what a lot of people say is that today we are MTD as Western Christians. Moralistic therapeutic deists, effectively. We're not really Christians in many sense if you boil it down. So I'll talk more about this when we get to the how to minister to the post-Christians. But essentially, we've become MTDs. So, and I think that in terms of this, also, it's important to unpack our modalities. There's a lot of things that we just take for granted as our white American Christian cultural norms. Youth pastors, quiet times, even raising support for missions trips. Worship is always led with an acoustic guitar, specific calling that everyone must have a specific calling. And nothing against you, Paul. I love acoustic guitar. Excessive individual identity. I do think there's a lot of things that we just assume that come with the package I'm not saying these things are necessarily bad, but they are not the only way to do it, essentially, is what I'm saying. So we need to think about how to theologize. So I actually came out with a book recently. It's my most recent book, Majority World Theologies. I edited it because I'm not the one, I'm not the yeah. It was edited by me and Tianu, who is from Africa. He's from Cote d'Ivoire, and he is formerly the dean of Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Chicago. This is a compilation of a bunch of chapters from theologians from around the world doing theology from their own contexts. So, and again, it's not something I can write, it's something I can edit. You know, I drew together everybody and just said, okay, how are we? This came out of the Evangelical Missiological Society. But you also see these majority world commentaries that have come out recently as well. And the Africa Bible Commentary, South Asia Bible Commentary, and soon you have a Latin American Bible Commentary, Middle Eastern and Slavic for Eastern Europe. And so these are coming out soon. The Latin American one's the next one coming out. So very excited for that to be published. It's in Spanish, it's going to be called the CBC, or the Comentario Biblico Contemporaneo. So that's what it's going to be called. But in English, it's going to be Latin American Bible Commentary. So, look for these to be coming out soon. So anyway, this I had put this up earlier, but these are some of the takeaways for partnership missions for this new field of world Christianity, and how we should, it really changes the way we do things, you know. Now, granted, this is only one of four. Frontier missions still exists. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow along with the other two. So we shouldn't abandon frontier missions. But I think there's a stereotype that all of what we do should be frontier missions. That's the classical traditional way of doing missions, and that's only one of four. World Christianity is a huge part of what we ought to be doing in this world, so it changes how we think about things and how we do things. So I'm sure I've given you a bunch of things to think about and to chew on, which I'm sure your discussion time will be pretty rich as you wrestle over some of these things, but that's pretty much it for my talk in terms of today.